Good morning, folks. We've got a great lineup for you today here on January 6, 2025. 26, excuse me. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer, will join us. We'll talk about the Saints-Falcon game, but more importantly, we'll talk about what's next for the Saints and what are their challenges. Wayne Cruz from Competitive Enterprise Institute. He's the Fred L. Smith Fellow in Regulatory Studies. We'll talk about the Trump administration, Donald Trump, who actually campaigned on deregulation, and we'll look at what was accomplished in his first year in office. Zach Smith with the Heritage will talk about the legal ramifications faced by ousted Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro and his wife. We'll look at the superseding indictment and what allegations, and does it matter about how they came to have custody of this individual and whether that will matter at all in his criminal trial. Greg Rusevich, during our NOLA Coalition segment, he's the chair of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll talk about the crime rate here in the city as the 2025 stats have been released. And we'll look at what may be some of the best policies for crime prevention going forward. And at 10:30, J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council President, joins us to talk about a number of issues in the last week of the Cantrell administration. Wanted to give a shout out to a really good friend of mine. He was the chief operating officer for Jefferson Parish in the Cynthia Lee Shang administration. He worked for the JPSO for 34 years. I had the pleasure of bringing him out of retirement back to the JPSO, have him as one of my deputy chiefs, one of my inner circles. Truly made a difference in the units that he commanded over the years, whether it was the second district captain or as the deputy chief, with a number of responsibilities, the DNA lab, the crime lab, 911, records room. Under his leadership and supervision, we were able to make a lot of significant gains, become more efficient in the job that we do. And I've been really proud of so many folks that served in my administration that went on to serve in other capacities in not only parish government, but multi-district organizations that making a difference. And Steve was certainly at the top of that list. I want to wish he and his wife and his daughters congratulations on his retirement. There's no doubt in my mind that he leaves Jefferson Parish in a better way than he assumed it. You could always count on him being there 24/7, 365, and had an opportunity to speak with him last evening about this decision, and just very excited for him. Really hard worker, and the taxpayers of Jefferson Parish definitely got their money's worth with Steve Lachute. I want to talk about another issue, and we'll talk about this as well with J.P. Morrell. You know, this is the last week, right? Less than a week now, 6 days out from the end of this Cantrell administration. Hoorah. But it's really the gift that keeps on giving. And when you look at things that come up, you just scratch your head and it's like, what? How? Where? I don't understand. So kudos to the Cantrell administration and going out there and figuring out a way to offer $10,000 bonuses for officers who come to work here at the NOPD and they stay for 3 years. Well, the three-year mark is about to be, is right there staring and standing in front of us, right? Well, they notified the incoming administration the other day, sorry to say, we don't have the money. We think it's going to be. Does this sound familiar? We think it's going to be somewhere between $8 to $12 million is due to officers this month in their $10,000 bonus payments. Turns out that the city may only have about $4 million in a fund that was not segregated for the purposes of this expenditure. Should have been, and they should have put the money in there. They should have financed it, and that way they'd have known that that money was dedicated to pay these bonuses. That's what you do. That's how you handle your business, so you don't forget that these money's owed, because now your credibility is significantly impaired, because you make a promise to pay these individuals that come to the city of New Orleans to protect us, to provide the safety and security for our city. They're entitled to a $10,000 bonus. And now, just days before the new administration comes in, you say, oops, I should let you know that we don't have the money to pay these bonuses. Now, you tell me, what's the likelihood of you coming to work for the city now if there's a continuation of this great benefit of a bonus to be paid when you basically stand here at a point in time where you might have to renege? I mean, this is such a high level of incompetence where we just don't understand the importance of the value or the promises that we make to individuals to try to lure them to come to this city to work. And we have this haphazard way of communicating this at the very last moment, because this is coming due. And I suspect there were probably officers that went up through the chain of their command asking, what paycheck is my bonus going to appear on? I would bet dollars to donuts that's how this came up. And somebody in the finance department says, oh, yeah, those bonuses. We didn't set aside any money for that. We've been spending all this money figuring out the ice melt at the South Pole. We're traveling all over the world on climate change. Yeah, we weren't focused on the bonus dollars for law enforcement in recruiting them to this city. This is a third world city finance department, third world country finance department. Robbing Peter to pay Paul, shaking cans at the corner with state and federal government for federal grants and dollars to fulfill primary obligations that are set forth by this administration. Hopefully the new administration doesn't do this. This is a very dangerous practice. You never develop the internal disciplines necessary to be able to manage a budget appropriately, finances appropriately. You cannot be all things to all people. You've got to set your priorities. You've got to fund those priorities. And if you are fortunate enough to have a few dollars left, you go out and do those nice things for other people. But this administration, previous administrations, they didn't get it. They wanted to be all things to all people. I keep hearing we can walk and chew gum at the same time. Well, obviously not. We have not mastered that yet. We can't walk in flat shoes, much less high heels. And it continues to reveal itself that we're not capable of doing it. This administration, I mean, Liberation Day is January 12th, quite frankly. We had this conversation with Mayor-elect Helena Moreno yesterday. They're being informed. She didn't specifically mention this, but I got to imagine this is what one of the things she was talking about. This was reported by Ben Myers this morning in NOLA.com. Excuse me? Again, 8 to 12 million. Why? Wait, Why is it we don't know exactly? You know why? Because we don't know what officers probably are actually entitled to this at this point in time. We're not tracking it. We don't know it. We probably don't know what officers are able to avail themselves of this benefit. This is a joke. And I certainly hope these surprises come to an end at some point in time before the summer, so that we can get about governing this city in a fashion and in a manner that is legitimate, and we're not dealing with a crisis every other day. There was one revelation that came up yesterday that we have people assigned to departments that are performing duties that have nothing to do with the particular discipline of the department that they're assigned to. That's indicative of hiding people into payroll. That's what that is. That's how you do it. So there's going to have to be a lot of cleaning up. But the downstream implications of all of this is trying to keep all of this together financially. And when you couldn't determine your deficit, now you can't determine how many officers are entitled to bonus pay. 8 to 12 million, there's a $4 million swing there? Really? They are robbing Peter to pay Paul to stay afloat right now. And this administration obviously is inept, or they're doing this with intentionality to screw the incoming administration during the period of time that they're going to ask for these bond dollars and everything else. They may not have asked for enough. They maybe needed more. And I think the incoming administration is going to recognize the fact of the stain that this puts on the credibility of the city. We are so lucky that this administration is coming to an end. It's these nuanced items that are revealing themselves day after day after day, that we don't have our eye on the ball of the expenditures of the city. 4 million, 12 million, 8 million, it doesn't matter. We got a $1 billion plus budget, really? It all matters. Every dollar matters. You've got aged infrastructure that a decade ago you couldn't guarantee delivering potable water with any level of consistency. You have a drainage system that's antiquated. You had a power delivery system to your pumps that were antiquated. And when you look around at the aged infrastructure and the fact that you have not funded CapEx appropriately and you don't have the dollars available to do so, in fact, you're struggling just to have the match for the grants that you're going out there running around procuring, some of which is to engage in activities that is meaningless to being able to deliver the basic city services that the taxpayers demand to have. All the while, we continue to get reports of out-migration of population. We're shrinking. Well, guess what? That doesn't help your tax base. And unless and until every single player under the city government umbrella, whether they are independently elected or not, are clicking on all cylinders and wasting no money, no dollars, and making sure that the things that they embark upon in their respective offices are meaningful relative to the efficiency and the effectiveness of delivering services, pushes us further and further and further away from accomplishing what it is we're trying to accomplish. Now, keep in mind, the incoming administration is working really hard to get to a status quo position where they actually know who does what, when, why, and how, and where the finances are coming from. Now, that's as basic as it gets in government, right? Is getting the answers to those questions. Then, and only then, can you go about providing the remedial actions necessary to create or to bring about improvement. And I know they're working very hard, but who knows how long it's going to take if you continue to be faced with surprises like this. They don't have 12 million. They simply just do not have it. It's the same discussion I had with the leadership and, you know, for the Firefighters Association yesterday. We seem to not recognize that there are these fiduciary obligations that you must meet to the taxpayers. We were talking about extended sick leave. Well, how long? There are things that you have to do as management to compel documentation of injuries, documentation of rehabilitation, documentations of when you can return and you're on a fit for duty assessment. They have to do those. And if they're not getting the information necessary and there's this uncertainty about whether or not the person is going to be fit for duty, and certainty is not, well, I'm confident at some point in time in his life or her life that they'll be back to work. Well, that just doesn't get it. There's nowhere in America that you're going to go to work in the private sector that you're going to get away with those responses. That's why they have the alternative system set up, whether it's a disability retirement, whether it's disability policy, short-term, long-term, or whether it's work comp, utilization of sick leave to make up the difference for a period of time. But they all have downstream implications that can be negative. But that's the structure. And it's incumbent upon management to make these decisions in an appropriate time. It can't be the way that we did it 25 years ago, because that's why we're in the predicament we're in today. We've been doing this over and over and over and over again. I know people within the first responder community in New Orleans over the decades that I worked that were out of work for 3 and 4 years and were paid 100% of their income and were reinstated and came back. There are very few forward-leaning organizations that would ever allow that to occur. Why? Because you can't afford it. First off, you need somebody. If that was a real position to begin with, you need somebody that's going to be able to go do it. And who's going to be willing to do it for 4 years on an interim basis? And then they want to make sure that they have the right to come back to the exact same position that they had before. Well, this puts all kinds of pressures on organizations. This city, and I only use this as an example, and I don't really mean to be critical of the conversation that I had yesterday, but it's appropriate because the kick the can down the road mentality has got to end. We have to consume political capital. We have to make the tough decisions. We have to set the numbers, set the priorities, and hold firm and not deviate unless there's an extraordinary event. Then and only then. Everyone will come with hat in hand asking for money. And the pressure is going to be more intense in today's environment because of some of the policy changes at the federal government that actually need to be done. Marco Rubio, I think, announced either yesterday or Friday that no longer are they going to create NGOs, non-governmental organizations, to give money to go deal with issues in foreign countries so that they can siphon off 20-30% of every dollar for administrative costs and then set up a parallel system to the system that's running, that's being run by the government there to deliver the very same service. Why would we do that? It's a complete case of creating a duplicative system, and it, unfortunately, we recognize now, with no accountability, because these NGOs have grown exponentially. The same thing happens within organizations. No is a powerful word, and it's a complete sentence. And it needs to be used more often. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Let me qualify one thing, too. This program of the $10,000 was not only a recruitment program, but a retention program for existing personnel to stay for a period of 3 years. And that's why the number is so large. Joining us now is J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council President. J.P., welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Noel. Appreciate being here.
JP, I was just talking in my monologue about this little note that y'all got the other day that the bonus money for retention and recruitment, they don't have enough dollars to pay it out. Yet another situation.
Another gift. But it comes down to that real basic issue that we're working on with that charter amendment, Newell, which is that if you budget for these things, then you anticipate them, and it's obvious that this was not budgeted for. And my understanding, and like I said, we're still kind of getting in the middle of this, is that they had been utilizing ARPA funding to do this, and the ARPA funding had run out. And it goes back to a comment I made to Gilbert Montagno and Mayor Cantrell and the entire Cantrell administration when it came in 2022, which is that I told them at that time, and history has not been kind, that we should always avoid doing Jindal math where we use one-time money for reoccurring expenses. And the entire budget for the last 4 years was based upon an artificial supplement of ARPA money under the idea by the mayor, by Gilbert, and by then Norman White, that revenue would rise to a level to replace the ARPA supplement. And part of why this budget went off a cliff beyond the lack of budgeting is that there was no real effort by the economists that the Cantrell administration had to true up that revenue was meeting that expectation and to cut accordingly each year, because the budget continued to grow and not shrink, despite the fact that revenues perhaps weren't reaching where they needed to be. So it's a challenge. We're going to have to figure it out. There's been too many times that the city of New Orleans, whether it be going back to the idea that we would have merit-based pay raises for police officers that never happened, that there would be annual pay increases under a great place to work that never happened, and now not paying this retention bonus. We have a department that is at a healthy number. If we don't resolve this crisis, we could lose officers all over again.
Yeah, I mean, I said this is a stain to the credibility of the city. You could have a hard time getting people to believe that they're actually going to receive their performance bonus if there's another incentive plan put together under the Moreno administration based on previous conduct.
Exactly. I mean, the reality is that, well, I mean, considering my sincere hope with people like you, the legislature, everyone pulling, that we do this actual charter amendment that puts the budget in a more reasonable position where when we budget for things, they're actually paid, this would not be a problem. But it's yet another kind of vestigial, you know, tail on this whole entire problem we have in the city of New Orleans, which is that budgets are suggestions, budgets are nebulous, and when you don't actually budget for things and pay things, you have crises like we have right now. So certainly we're going to work with the Moreno administration incoming to true up our budget to make sure all the revenue that we say is coming in is there, to make sure our expenditures meet our revenue, which is going to require significant cuts, which Mayor Moreno has already said, and then look at our obligations, like, for example, these retention bonuses, and figure out how we're going to pay for them. Because the reality is that this is the end last payment on that retention. That program, and I'll be very candid, Noel, I was very critical of that program because it was a retention program and a recruitment program. And as a recruitment program, it has largely failed. We have not recruited to the level which people said we'd recruit when we created this program. When it comes to retention bonuses, as you know, Newell, the fact that the way NOPD budgets salaries for officers is beyond bizarre. Because as you know, inside the NOPD, once you reach senior officer as a patrolman, your base salary basically stagnates. So a guy who's been there for 5 years versus a guy that's been there for 10 years or 15 or 20 years, their base salary is the same. The only difference is how many details, how much overtime they work. In most departments across the country, there are pay raises as small or as large as possible on an annual basis that encourages someone who is staying there for the long term, whether you decide to be a detective or stay a patrolman forever. You're incentivizing a person to stay based upon the fact that their pay is going up, albeit incrementally, to improve their retirement. We as a department have never done that. And though it makes numbers round for budgeting, it makes it very hard to recruit officers when if another department will take you as a lateral and you've got 15 years experience as a New Orleans police officer making the same amount of money as a guy who's been there for five, and you want to go to Seattle or you want to go to Baltimore or you go anywhere else in the country where they'll take that 15 years of experience and adjust your pay accordingly, you're gone. That's the problem this department's always had.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's, and I've said this to many folks, there, money is one motivating factor. There are a lot of other motivating factors. When you're luring people to an organization, they tend to want to be with organizations that are cutting edge, that are forward leaning, you know, where you're not in the paper all the time. You're not under a consent decree. You're not this, you're not that. You know, there's not free flowing allegations all the time, payroll fraud. It's hard to recruit people to organizations where you have all of these multifactorial issues that are going on that talk about a culture that's just not healthy. And I don't mean to be overly critical, but that perception is reality. And what happens is it's very easy for people to have that perception of an organization when you have all of this going on. That's why you have to mind the P's and Q's, because there's more than one way to skin a cat. There's more than one way to motivate a workforce. And money, you know, pay raises are great. You want to appropriately pay people. They're excited for one day. And then they want to know when the next pay raise is. You know, but you got to create a culture where they're actually able to accomplish things. Because that can be every bit as important as money. And ease of administration. You know, if I need paper, I don't have to go hunting, you know, for copy paper, or if I need a report, it's got to be easy to get it, to be able to utilize it in the course of an investigation. And I just throw these out. It seems to me that over the years, we've never pulled together all of these multiple motivating factors in an overarching strategy to motivate a workforce. And yeah, in fact, I don't see much of a strategy at all, to be quite frank with you, and I don't think you do either.
No, I mean, I think to your point, the number one advocate for anyone entering a job or soliciting a new job is the current people who are on the job. And one of the biggest challenges we've had with NOPD is that the quality of life for officers is so bad, they don't recommend other people necessarily join the NOPD. I'll give you a great example. Every department, every law enforcement department in the Greater New Orleans area has a detail system or overtime of sorts. I mean, what could be very frustrating for officers is officers who work detailed Office Secretary of Employment, Newell, they sometimes won't get their paycheck from Office Secretary of Employment for 3 to 4 to 5 weeks after the detail's been worked. And there's no rhyme or reason to it. Now, why that's frustrating is the way Office Secretary of Employment works is the city takes a cut off the top of the hour that an officer works in details. So the department itself, Secretary of Employment, gets their cut the moment that officer does the job, and then that officer at some future date, which is never really on a determined schedule, gets their pay from doing that work. I bring that up because when you put that, as you said, when you look at all the dysfunction when it comes to pay or when it comes to policy, all of that discourages current officers to try and recruit new officers. Because you and I both know the law enforcement community is very small but large in that departments get a reputation, not just cutting edge, but really just quality of life. And if the current officers here have a bad taste in their mouth, if they were promised a retention bonus they didn't get, and they are unhappy with the state of the department, it becomes A, difficult to recruit new officers, B, impossible to get lateral hires at all, because they're all sure hearing from the current officers how unhappy they are. And more importantly, those officers that you need to stay on the job to not retire early or to not lateral themselves out, they're one step closer to the door. And I mean, we in this city are looking at the lowest crime rate in decades, and that's a great thing, but we have to be very mindful how we got there. And there's a variety of different factors to it, but one of those is that the public, for the first time in years, across the board, has a very good impression and looks favorably upon the department. That is not a time in a successful department to rest on your laurels and not double down on keeping officers happy and keeping the system humming along. What you see happen in many departments, which is kind of the beginning of the end, is when they get complacent and they don't handle those quality of life issues. So I know it's another goose egg that we're being left by the Cantrell administration and the Moreno administration and the incoming council. We're going to have to figure out a way around it, because if we promise something to people, you have to follow through on that promise, because to your point, it undermines the ability for any city to make future promises.
Yeah, and I know you would be the same way. I would be completely and totally embarrassed if I had to announce, we made this promise, but I don't have the money to fulfill the promise. I mean, that would be one of the most embarrassing moments in my career. I can't even comprehend myself allowing that to happen inside the JPSO. It couldn't, because I'd be all over it. It just seems like It almost feels like there's this air of just not caring. I mean, and I don't know if they recognize how embarrassing a moment this is as an administration.
I will tell you, I would not be surprised if fervent hope was that this announcement would have happened next week and they could have blamed it on the Moreno administration. I will tell you, Newell.
We're almost there. We're 6 days away from Liberation Day.
I tell you, Newell. I joke with Lane all the time. She's going to go in the office, open the drawer in the desk, and see a bunch of unpaid invoices just waiting for her that we don't even know about right now. Like that's the shoe I'm waiting to drop on January.
You might be giving them too much credit. I think they're going to make you go hunt
voices we didn't know about.
I think they're going to make you go hunt for them. I don't think they're going to leave the gift in an obvious position. But anyway, we know you're busy. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council President. Have a great last week of this administration.
Thanks, Noel. You too.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Folks, do you listen to WWL on the Odyssey app? If not, you got to join the club. We've seen growth in listeners who stream their favorite shows on their phones and who download our Daily Show podcast. Stay connected to WWL for breaking news about Venezuela and Maduro. Also, the inauguration of Mayor-elect Helena Moreno, plus the latest on the Saints and LSU and opinions you just can't get anywhere else. Download the Odyssey app today. And make sure you go to My Audio, then Settings, and turn on notifications. That way you'll never miss a big story or a red-hot interview. WWL is always live on the free Odyssey app. And just a reminder, we are the home of the New Orleans Pelicans, and today the Pels take on the Lakers in the Smoothie King Center, pregame at 6:30, tip-off 7 o'clock on the Big 870 WWL. AM. And we will be, covering live the Kellen Moore interview tomorrow. He's going to have a press conference, I guess, talk about the team and the general manager as well, and Mickey Loomis. And we will do that during my show. We'll go live at 11 o'clock tomorrow and cover that. So we're looking forward to hear what they have to say. Obviously, they're going to be drafting pretty high in the draft, which is something good. I don't know about you, but the quarterback this year, I really like what I see. And hopefully they're able to pull some pieces and parts together to make a difference for this team going into the next year. So a lot of ground to cover this week. Got the college football playoffs, I think, on Thursday and Friday, the NFL playoffs on Saturday and Sunday. You got four straight days of incredible football coming your way, a lot of which will be covered right here on WWL, so stay tuned. When we come back, we will visit with Greg Rusevich during our NOLA Coalition segment. He's the chair of the Metropolitan Crime Commission, and we'll talk about crime in the city and where we stand.